Hey, Alex here. Sorry, I've been away for a little while. I was traveling for business, so I wanted to get something out to you guys. So what I actually decided to do this week is, following this little brief intro, I'm going to actually just attach my sermon from this Sunday, which was talking about what we plant in the spring is what we harvest in the fall, and just what kind of things we're harvesting based on what we're putting inside of ourselves, what we're putting out into the world, and all that kind of stuff. So I wanted to share that with you all. And I hope you'll give it a listen, and I hope you enjoy it. All right, see you next week.
This is a little short for me. This happens. This has happened my entire life. I go to the grocery store, people are like, "Can you get that top shelf for me?" I'm like, "Yes, if you can get that thing down there on the floor, because I can't bend down like that anymore."
I hear you.
Well, I know, you know, let's see what the little thing is that I gave Bonnie like weeks ago. I'm like, "Bonnie, I don't plan this far in advance." So I said, spring planting becomes the fall harvest. What you planted in the spring determines what you harvest in the fall. And I was thinking about that a lot this last week. I was away in Boston at a work conference, so I didn't do anything. I was just like, I'm just gonna have to let Spirit do this when I get home on Friday night or Saturday morning. So I was thinking about it, and I realized what part of this is what we put in, what we plant and stuff, the seeds are really about what's inside of us and how we're treating ourselves. So I'm reading this Ram Dass book for seminary called How Can I Help? And in the first chapter, one of the things he says is, who are we to ourselves and to one another? It will all come down to that. Will we look within? And I think, you know, I also felt really pulled, like, do I want to talk about politics this week? You know, there's a lot going on right now. And look, she's scared already. In the sense that there's a lot of trauma and triggering that's been happening in the last few weeks. And a lot of what's outside of us looks really frightening to a lot of us right now. And I think what I kept coming back to, and what one of my seminary friends said, was we have to basically just do our part, pray and let it go to God, that God will control the best and highest outcome for us as a whole. And that scared me a little, you know, because I want to like have this control or think that I do, and I don't have any control. You know, what can I do? The little things I can do in my own community, the things I can do inside myself. And that's where it starts. And I think that's where we forget to go into. You know, a lot of us, we volunteer places or we do things in our community. We try to feed the homeless. We try to help out. We try to do all these different things. We vote. We do all this stuff and we feel like, oh man, is this doing anything? But if we're not turning it into ourselves and we're not giving ourselves love and compassion and empathy, all the things that that all of my friends right now are screaming at the top of their lungs that is not happening in our country right now. Maybe it's not happening in our country right now because we're not doing it for ourselves. You know, I don't believe that the president is like being nice to himself. I don't believe that these congressmen care and love themselves. They might love money or they might love power, but do they love themselves? So of course what we see reflected back at us is this, what feels like chaos, because that's what's inside of all of us. But the only place that we can have any effect on is in our own hearts. So how can we do that? One of the other things Ram Dass says in that book is, he says, we experience kinship, and he put kin in quotes, and our kindness, and he put kind in quotes, it is us. Because kin means our kin, and kindness means our kind. It's all about that reflection, we think, when we put kindness out, our kinship of our community. It's about that they are us, and we are them. So how can we really practice what we preach on these Sunday mornings? You know, this has been my biggest thing in seminary, the ways in which I have felt like a hypocrite, the ways in which I have felt like, who am I to stand up and speak or to write or to put out podcasts or any of these things, because man, I fall down flat on my face probably daily, but at least every couple days. And I've struggled with that a lot. because I want to hold myself to this higher standard that I should somehow not make mistakes or I shouldn't falter. And I don't think that's who any of us are or can be. The beauty is the opportunity to turn around and say to ourselves, you did the best that you could. I follow this lady on Twitter, and every day at the end of the day when she signs off, she says, today I did the best that I could. Tomorrow I will try again. What if we all gave ourselves that benefit of the doubt? Because, you know, I know that I'm the first person to stand up and scream from the top of my lungs. You know, I'm flying back from Boston. Some of you heard I was traveling earlier in the week. I'm flying back from Boston, and I'm sitting in some restaurant in the hotel or in the airport, and I'm sitting across from a woman and her probably 15-year-old daughter. The woman begins to be on FaceTime with a call with someone else very loudly, and I'm like, oh, this is good. I'm going to get my earphones in a second. But then she started talking about the stuff going on with the Supreme Court justice. And she was very upset. And, well, who cares what he did in his past? And this is no big deal. You know, he should be fine. And every part of me wanted to just walk over to her and say, like, what lesson are you teaching your 15-year-old daughter? You know, what if this happened to her? Because it happened to me as a teenager. And I never told my parents, because the kid went to my church, who tried to push me and force me to do what he thought we should do. So this idea that, oh, well, people, they should have told earlier. We all live in this fear and this pain of, like, maybe we did something wrong, or what's wrong with me if people hurt me? And all of the stuff that comes up and comes out in our society, it is just a reflection of that inner turmoil that we all have inside of us. So that's what I wanted to call us to in this harvest time, is what are you harvesting from what you planted earlier this year? Did you plant self-compassion and self-love and self-empathy, self-kindness? Because if you didn't, it's hard to get that back from the universe. I got this other great quote, many attempt to harvest what was never planted. You know, I mean, that struck me like over the head, knocked me down a little. Because how often are we expecting to get these things in return that we aren't actually giving ourselves, or maybe that we actually aren't even giving the people around us? How often are we, you know, cutting someone off in traffic and yelling and screaming at them? We talked about this beforehand. How often are we externalizing and blaming the outside people? You know, I told Penny this story. Brene Brown tells this story about, she says, I'm an external blamer. So she's like, I was at a friend's party. I had a glass of red wine, totally spilled it on the lady's white carpet. She's like, I thought I could do three things. One, I could walk away because no one even saw me do it. Two, I could just like frantically start to clean it up. Or three, and this is the option I chose, who the heck gets white carpet and then serves people red wine? Who does that? Seriously. And that's really the response that she had. And that's what came up in her own head. And that's me too. The external blamer. You know, how can I blame the world for this and for my experience? And I know a lot of you are laughing because you do the same thing. She's an internal blamer, so she doesn't understand. She's like, it must be my fault. Aww. There was an earthquake. I must have somehow done something. Right? Another great quote I saw was, no step is lost on this path, and even a little progress is freedom from fear. Now, I just think that all of us, and I think that I've been actually speaking about this for the last couple times I've spoken over at the Center for Spiritual Living also, I just want to call all of us to this inward journey. We're about to head through the harvest as we get through fall and into winter. And that's the time to really go within. That's when all the plants go into this dormant state. That's when a lot of the animals go into dormant states. It's not a coincidence. You know, the winter is this time for us to go back inside. And it snowed this morning. That's not fall weather. That's winter weather out there. I told Penny that came for her because she was only here a week, so we had to show her what this is going to look like living here. It's supposed to be a wet winter, too. So William Blake said, in the seed time learn, in the harvest time teach, and in the winter enjoy. So how can we prepare ourselves as we come through this fall? We might not be harvesting the things that we wanted to harvest. That's okay. Because tomorrow, we can do our best again. So what ways can we set up for ourselves to make a different plan, to do things differently than we've done them? You know, I know so many people, you know, we spent all last year in seminary. Every month we studied a different religion, and we had a list of the different rituals from that religion. And so we had to pick one, and we had to do it for the whole month. And so in each month there was a different, you know, in Islam there was the body prayer, the kneeling prayer, you know, 5 times a day. There was a bunch of different, in Judaism there was prayers, in Hindu there was like chanting and different things you could do. And it was interesting how doing all these different rituals that you'd maybe never done before brought you to this new experience of connecting with the divine. And so my encouragement is if the things you've been doing have not been working for you, try something different. I mean, we all get stuck in that place. Like, it's, oh, well, I have to sit down and try to meditate again for 30 minutes. And then, like, 2 minutes in, you're just like, this is not working. I'm just, my head, oh, I got to do that thing. I got to get milk. And, you know, before long, you're like, oh, surely it's been 30 minutes. And you're like, 7 minutes. It happens to all of us. No one's alone in that. But what I found is when I couldn't do that, when I couldn't sit for that 30 minutes, I went and found something else I could do for 30 minutes. So look around and find new resources. Talk to other people and see what they're doing. You know, talk to your friends, see what they're doing. A lot of people are into more woo-woo things now, as some of our friends call it. Like, you're a little woo-woo. Proudly, yes, this is who I am.
Yes.
I've come to a space finally where some of you know from my last sermon here in June that my parents are very fundamentalist evangelical Christians. So what I found that works is anything that my mom would say is the devil really works for me. And it's really a spectacular, like, my friend is an astrologer, a pretty well-known astrologer. I'm like, I need an astrology reading. So I got an astrology reading. And then, you know, my friend does tarot card reading. I need a tarot card reading. This is, you know, and there's no harm in just looking at all these things. I mean, my mom would say there's harm. But in general, I think it's pretty good to go out and branch out beyond the things that you have just known in your bubble world, because we all have that space. And that's one of the fantastic things about this program that I'm in. It's actually about becoming an interfaith minister. It's not about picking just a religion or a program. They're preparing us so that when we walk out of ordination next June, that we could go into a baptism or a Christian setting and talk about the Bible and give some, you know, prayers and spiritual guidance. And then we could go in and talk about Hinduism with someone. We could do all of those things. And the more we could all do that and bend and allow ourselves to have a little more fluidity around the things and the people, even in politics. If we could all bend just a little, and I'm not saying to stand down when we need to stand up and speak, but there is room for us to bend, and there's room for us to meet somewhere in the middle. There has to be common ground. You know, with my parents, it's like sports or business that's the common ground, but it's something. You know, I was in Phoenix, I got like in a sandstorm when I was golfing, and my dad loves golf, so I called my dad and I was just like, look at this picture, it looks like I'm in Saudi Arabia, like in the sand, and I talked to him for 25 minutes, and a real deep, like we're laughing, oh, remember the time we did blah, 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 and all of a sudden, we were connecting. But if I try to connect with them about politics, or if I try to connect to them about religion, that doesn't work because we don't have the common ground there. So where can we all do a little bending, not to set aside our boundaries, but to allow ourselves to come to a different place? And that woman in the airport, for a moment I wanted to get up and talk to her, And I didn't. And instead, I posted on my Facebook group to a bunch of my seminary friends and some of my other friends. And I said, what is the conversation that we could have with people? What could we say? And so many people responded. Some people said, I think some people just want to be heard. Some people just want to be able to be heard. And someone else talked about that chapter. It's Matthew 13, around verse 5, where Jesus is talking about the parable of the seeds. So you know, if you throw the seeds on the concrete, you know, the birds are going to take them away. If you throw it in shallow ground, they'll plant and sprout quickly, but then they'll kind of die from the sun. And so the woman said to me, sometimes it's okay that you throw it in that shallow ground and it might sprout and then die, or the person might get upset a little. And then she said, the more you do that, it will build up the soil. And I thought that was a powerful image to kind of transform that parable of like, what if our seeds that we just keep trying to plant, even in places it seems impossible. I mean, trees sprout up through concrete and break asphalt, and stranger things have happened. So I think that's what I wanted to just share, really, and talk about that. I have a couple more quotes I want to share with you. Robin Sharma says, the farmer has patience and trusts the process. He just has the faith and the deep understanding that through his daily efforts, the harvest will come. And then one day, almost out of nowhere, it does. I think that goes back to wanting to control those outcomes, you know, thinking that we can, and it's what my friend at seminary said. We can't control what's happening right now in politics, in the world, in whatever, other than to do our part and then release it and pray that God has the control in all of this. And God knows what is happening. I mean, I certainly hope that God knows what is happening, because the rest of us obviously have no idea what's going on. Albert Schweitzer said, no ray of sunlight is ever lost, but the green which it awakens into existence needs time to sprout. It's not always granted to the sower to see the harvest. All work that is worth anything is done in faith. So how can we have a little bit more faith in knowing that the seeds that we're planting, even though they sometimes feel like they're on a concrete and that person didn't even hear me, how can we hope and know that in our hearts and in their hearts, that the part of us that is the kinship, the part of us that is them, that their soul has to hear it. It might not be in their conscious mind. It might not come forward in what looks like our experience, but somewhere deeply rooted inside each of us is the same spark of life, the same soul being of the creator of the divine. So how can we look to that within each of us? Carl Lynn says, our job is not the harvest, our job is the seed. So this week as we go out, maybe if each one of us plans an idea of how I'm going to plant a different seed this week, just a little differently than I've done before. How might that change our life and ripple out into the world around us? If we each did it, and then one person we came into contact did it, and then they came into contact with one person, that's how the world changes. Not by us, you know, standing and screaming at the top of our lungs on Facebook, or out on the street corner even, but how we affect each little person we come into contact with. How we treat the person at the grocery store cashier. How we treat our kids, our spouses, our neighbor, and ultimately how we treat ourselves. That's the biggest effect that we have. And I want to close with this quote from W.E.B. Du Bois. Now is the accepted time, not tomorrow, not some more convenient season. It is today that we fit ourselves for the greater usefulness of tomorrow. Today is the seed time. Now are the hours of work, and tomorrow comes the harvest and the time to play. And so it is.